And we're back on Each for All, the Cooperative Connection, your weekly public affairs show about the cooperative sector and social economy, proudly broadcasting on Vancouver Co-op Radio, 100.5 FM, and online at cooperadio.org. Our next report comes from Winnipeg, where the Peg City Car Co-op is about to celebrate 10 years of making car sharing an affordable alternative to car ownership while building partnerships with businesses and government all around town. Managing Director Philip Mikulak tells us the Peg City story. Have a listen.
There was a lot of planning and work from dedicated individuals in Winnipeg who basically asked the question, why isn't there car sharing in Winnipeg? Is it feasible? What are the barriers? And of course, there was a lot, it would have been natural trepidation about it. Winnipeg is not known to necessarily be progressive on the alternative transportation front. We are a small, medium market city. There wasn't necessarily a lot of interest from other companies to come and start a car sharing company in Winnipeg. And so people started to ask, is there a market? What kind of model? And from basically a business feasibility study done by a number of individuals in Winnipeg, found that there looked to be actually a market and a potential demand for car sharing for alternative to private vehicle ownership. And the co-op model was used, one, because I think it really fit with the principles and the values of the people who decided they wanted to start the car share, but it was also a practical choice. A co-op allows for incremental community growth. You don't necessarily need venture capital and big investors or someone who has a lot of money to start car sharing and with all the risk that it entails. So it was a really great model, both for the value-based reasons, but also for the practical economic reasons. So then in June of 10 years ago, essentially, it was launched with just a couple cars and about 30 members in one of our more densely populated transit and walkable friendly neighborhoods. Not unlike, I think, very much the story of Moto in Vancouver. We had humble beginnings, and since then we've grown to provide more car sharing vehicles in a number of neighborhoods in Winnipeg.
So from those humble beginnings almost 10 years ago, to become a member at that time, what was involved? Is it a membership fee? And then do you get certain perks along the way? Like, how has the member portion of the co-op evolved over the years? How did it start and where is it at now?
Yeah, we over time, we've iterated and made adjustments to our rate structure and things like that. But principally, when it comes to how people sign up and what their options are, we've actually stayed quite true to our original model. We created one plan that doesn't require a co-op membership. You don't have to pay the $500 member fee to gain access to the vehicles. This ensures that we provide flexibility and option for people who may not want to put that $500 down, and it's for a lot of people, it's not an amount to sneeze at. So we want to ensure that we're able to help people get access to a car, even if they don't want to make that commitment. And then on a member side, there's a $500 share. With that, you do get lower rates and a number of perks. And over time, we've made shifts. Initially, if you want to have multiple drivers on your account, you have to provide an additional deposit of $250. We ended up getting rid of that because we really wanted to entice members to add more drivers to their account. And we felt that the $250 just wasn't worth the barrier for adding more drivers, so that there was more drivers in the ecosystem, so that the cars got used more. Over time, we've adjusted perks and things like that. The one area where we've made more adjustments is actually on our rate structure. One of the things that I focused on when I came in was trying to find ways to ensure that car sharing meets the needs of variety of users and use cases. So one thing that we weren't necessarily very strong on was more of the multi-day and long distance trips. So we actually created a lower cap for a 24-hour period, making a 24-hour rental more affordable. And we also created a bulk kilometer rate so that people could take the cars out of town. And we found that actually had pretty seismic shift in how people behaved with our vehicles and how they used them, really actually helped us entice more demand for those trips that those people were maybe using a different form of transportation before, be it maybe using a friend or family vehicle or going to a standard rental service. And other than that, we've made slight modifications here and there as we go, and we hear from what our members want.
Let me ask you this. You started in one neighborhood. Maybe you can describe for us Winnipeg and vicinity, where you operate. How did you decide which neighborhood to begin in, and how do you decide thereafter which neighborhoods to expand to? Because you're up to 11 different neighborhoods and 60 vehicles in your fleet from beginning with three vehicles in one neighborhood. So how do you determine that? Is it kind of feedback from the folks, or where there's growth, or just explain a bit how you decide that. And tell us a bit about the people that are using the vehicles.
Yeah, absolutely. So first, to kind of paint a picture of Winnipeg, for those who haven't been to Winnipeg, we're talking about a city that is basically about 700,000 people. The important thing to consider is that Winnipeg doesn't really have an agglomeration, right? So you have a city like Vancouver. I don't know what the exact population is just for Vancouver. Probably, my guess, last time I checked, well over a million. But the thing is that Vancouver has this whole large, relatively dense, especially the adjoining municipalities, agglomeration, which adds many more millions of people. We don't have that. So our whole city is 700,000 people. And after that, it just drops off into farm towns and small communities and bedroom communities that aren't very large. And Winnipeg is an old city. It's one of Canada's oldest cities. And so the core area is actually quite dense. Is the first kind of ring of residential neighborhoods that were built. And Osborne Village is that. It is actually one of the denser neighborhoods in Canada, even though Winnipeg overall is a very low density city. So that traditional urban context made it a really great choice. It had lots of high rises. It was right adjacent to downtown, some of the most frequent bus routes. It's called Osborne Village. It has that feel of small shops close to the street and the sidewalk. So it had that feel, and a lot of the pressures with parking and things like that that also help entice people to do something like a car share. In terms of our members, they're very diverse. We serve a large sector of people from lower income individuals to young professionals and even families. We provide things like even a child car seats in our vehicles to try to help those people who are just starting their family and still don't necessarily want to own a car. We have retirees, people who've downsized and decided they want to move into the downtown area, where we're seeing more construction of apartments. And I think fundamentally, our users do care about the environmental impact and reducing their environmental footprint. But ultimately, they also understand that this is an economic choice and one that it can actually be much more affordable, and you still allow for the convenience of having access to a car. And you know, it's probably not comparable to a place like Vancouver again or Toronto, where you have even higher parking costs. But even for us in Winnipeg, relative to people's incomes, you're living in the downtown and you might be paying $250 a month for a parking spot. That $250 alone gets you, not to mention depreciation costs, maintenance, insurance, all those other things. That $250 alone gets you a lot of car sharing. Which is why places like the downtown and this other neighborhood, which is part of the downtown called the Exchange District, which is our old industrial area, turned now into lofts and things like that. People really, that's become our largest growth area. And a lot of those people are, again, young professionals and also people who have retired and decide they want to live centrally.
I saw that you have an arrangement with developers. That helps the environment, that helps developers have a dedicated parking space for Peg City Cars. Can you tell us how that works and has it been successful going forward?
Yeah, it's a great program. It's actually, once again, emulated from a program in Vancouver. 10 years ago when we started, a developer, as well as Peg City Car Corp and the planning department in Winnipeg, recognized an opportunity to help with infill development. We have situations where parking is the reason why the development is being stymied. Where in the first pilot project we did, it was essentially a old church that had sat vacant for years and years, and multiple developers were confident that they would make it work. And then they tried and they failed and they tried and they failed. And eventually the right person at the right time bought it, and because we were just starting, and they realized that finally they can deal with this parking issue, because they couldn't tear down the building and the parking that was there was all the parking that could ever be there. And it didn't meet the ratios for residential. And so we basically, there was a conversation that was had between the planning department, Peg City Car Corp, which was starting, and this developer that said, hey, let's put car sharing vehicles here. We know that this offsets parking demand. And the planners were very receptive to this. It was a pretty progressive thing to consider. And they really championed it. And so we got that going. And since then, it's been ebbs and flows. Winnipeg isn't necessarily a fast growth city, but it is growing faster. And we're seeing a lot more demand for infill in a lot of our older neighborhoods. And with that is coming a lot more interest in car sharing for developers, realizing that they can, one, either sometimes make a project that wasn't feasible, or two, actually save money on parking costs and provide a benefit of an amenity to a neighborhood and to the people who are moving into that building. And we've also worked with co-ops. Winnipeg is a really large housing co-op that was built in another one of our old neighborhoods. It used to be a vacant lot that had a hospital on it and sat there for, I think, better part of a decade, maybe more, completely unused. And that project too, it would have been really hard to make it feasible with the traditional parking requirements, the ratios. But by partnering with us, co-op and co-op, they were able to build affordable housing, age-friendly housing, multi-generational housing, and also provide car sharing for the neighborhood. So there's a lot of win-wins here.
I read about that a few years ago. It's a Grace Housing Co-op, I believe.
That's right. It's Old Grace Housing Co-op.
And, you know, this is the thing about Peg City that really, as I say, I've followed it for a number of years and haven't been able to do an interview until now. But you're very, very community minded. This is something that I've noticed in, tracking news stories about the co-op. You have perks for members that shop locally. You're supporting local businesses in the various neighborhoods. And again, educating people about the footprint, the environmental footprint that having so many cars on the road does take, and turning things around and giving people alternatives for that. Now, one of the things that really impressed me of late is that you had an opportunity for people to buy investment shares through a program that's run through the provincial government. And you raised, I think, $600,000 in investment shares to allow you to continue to expand. This is a tremendous program. Can you explain how that works and what a great infusion of equity to move forward?
Yeah, absolutely. So the going back to the economic model, and there were a lot of good reasons to use the co-op as an economic model, but one impediment over time that sometimes can be is getting more equity. If you can't get equity from people signing up, then you're stuck because you'd have to either create a multi-stakeholder co-op. You have to find, it's really hard to find private investment to invest into a co-op. Sometimes you don't necessarily want to do that because it can dilute the principles of the co-op. But the government of Manitoba has been very progressive on this front, recognizing that it's important to provide a way for alternative community economic development and companies that don't follow the traditional corporate model to find equity and that liquidity to be able to grow. So basically, the government of Manitoba, through as a regulatory process, it's quite rigorous. Once approved, when you sell shares, the government actually gives a 45% refundable tax credit. So refundable there is the key word, because it doesn't even matter what your tax liability is, you're still guaranteed that 45% on whatever you invest. And so by allowing that, it means that basically the government is providing the return on investment, and it's a guaranteed and it's upfront too. I mean, what kind of investment gives you your return upfront to your investor? And then eventually, of course, we pay back that principal and the investor is made whole plus that 45%. We've also designed it to be very accessible, right? So we could buy an investment share as little as $100. All the way up to, you know, a scale of up to 60,000 for a $600,000 offering. So it allows for a lot of people to invest in the community, depending on what their means are, and ability to gain benefit from that. And you know, we have people who are both our co-op members who invest. We have people from across Manitoba who believe in what we're doing. They may not live in Winnipeg. They may not be able to access the car sharing service, but they see the benefit, of course, of the tax credit. There's an economic incentive there, but they also believe in what we're doing. And I think we've been very good at messaging the people the benefits of car sharing and why it's important to support us.
Yeah, your communication is really excellent. And you're, you know, from your website to social media, and you get a lot of good coverage, like from the Winnipeg Free Press you know, because you're doing really good work there. Now, of course, COVID must have had a huge impact on Peg City. Tell us what that was like in terms of, the business, the co-op, your members, and demand for car sharing, and how you handled that over the last year.
Yeah, absolutely. So once again, I have to say that just how appreciative we are that we had this tax credit system in place, because we had done other rounds of investment before COVID hit. And you know, we see a lot of businesses struggling because of liquidity. And it was one thing for us, our baseline was, you know, we have a good liquid position. If we do lose money now, we have a number of years to figure out how we make ourselves whole again, and we can figure that out. So we have all this this wiggle room, so to speak. But there, of course, were challenges. You know, it's been almost exactly a year since the first COVID case was officially announced. I'm sure it was here before, but the first one was found in the community, and things shut down very quickly. The government had to respond, and you know, the first couple months about a year ago were a bit scary, as it was probably for a lot of people. We didn't know how long these really harsh lockdowns were going to last. We saw a reduction in our demand, you know, basically a 50%. It was like we went off a cliff, you know, and went right down into the bottom of the valley. And we weren't sure how long we were going to stay in that valley for. Fortunately, because of the fast measures that were taken and things we got things under control quite well into the spring and then well into the summer. So we actually We had plans to expand our fleet by 50%. So from 40 to 60 cars, it was our biggest expansion plan in the history of the co-op. And here we are hit with the pandemic. We weren't sure if we were going to be able to do it. Fortunately, vehicle manufacturers and our partners there and financial partners were able to pivot with us and to provide flexibility. Ultimately, we basically completed our full expansion plans for the 2020 calendar year, even with COVID, because after we kind of came out of that valley, fortunately, we were able to go right back up really quickly. We saw the best usage this last spring and summer of 2020 that we'd seen in the history of the co-op. But I think a lot of people were doing that because they canceled all their international vacation plans and they started to look around at their own province and their backyard and say, oh, there's a lot of things to see here. And that was a lot of that were our own members who decided they want to go camping and on road trips in Manitoba. And so from there, we actually saw, a spike in demand. And of course, other things, as with a lot of other companies, the federal government has been very helpful. If it's there's various loans you can get that will be interest-free and partially forgiven. Of course, the wage subsidy, we were able to use that for a couple months in the worst and darkest times in the March and April of 2020. And a lot of those things ensured that we could rebound quickly. And then, I know it's long-winded, but there's just so much to talk about here. The other end of this is that we did have a great summer, and I think to some extent we allowed our hubris here in Manitoba to get the best of us. And then we had some severe lockdowns again. But fortunately, I think people started to realize that car sharing or using a car sharing vehicle was not high risk. So we started to see that we didn't get the same kind of drop off that we did before. We had kind of modeled this out, and we thought, what would happen if we had 4 or 5 months of basically suppress, lower than 50% usage based on compared to our projections. And even in the more severe lockdowns in November, December, January, we never saw numbers reached like they did in March, April of 2020. So that was also very fortunate for us, the recognition that car sharing is a safe way to get around.
Tell us a bit about the fleet. You're up to 60 cars. Do you have any electric vehicles at this point, or hybrids, or tell us about what kind of car I could get there.
Yeah, so we, our fleet is diverse as we've grown. We've seen that once again, going back to the use cases and ensuring that we're providing this diversity. We have, our daily driver, compact vehicle to get around, zip around the city. But we also have minivans, cargo vans, trucks, and SUVs. The one thing there too is what we, pride ourselves in from our data. And a lot of people who own trucks, they might use it as a truck a couple times a year. Our slams, of course, is used to get around, but a high proportion of our trucks are the proportion used is for things like transporting a good or even hooking up a trailer to go tow something. And so those vehicles are being used as for their purpose. We have done some testing around electric vehicles. It's still a small portion of our fleet. We had one full electric vehicle that unfortunately didn't work out super well in terms of usage because of extreme cold. It was an older generation Nissan Leaf, so we would just see usage or the sorry not the usage the range drop drastically in minus 30 weather when it was already only at optimal maybe 100 kilometers. So
Right.
cause a lot of anxiety for members. There was a lot of a steep learning curve. So I think we've learned from that. We know that the full electric segment is an area where we want to get into. We've got to ensure that infrastructure is there, and that's hard for us. We're already doing one thing, which is car sharing. We're not necessarily prepared to get into the electric
Charging
infrastructure.
stations, yeah.
Exactly. So that's where we hope over time we can develop partnerships and relationships with property management firms, developers, the city of Winnipeg, even malls, things like that. so that we don't necessarily have to be the ones who are installing, operating, and maintaining that infrastructure. And once that infrastructure is there, and with the kind of vehicles that are all out there right now in terms of range, it really can become a feasible thing. Where we've pivoted and we find that is a nice balance is your plug-in hybrid electric vehicle. So that's one which, you know, when it's short urban range, will travel almost exclusively on an electric motor and switch into the gas motor as a hybrid for those longer ranges or when it's in, or when it's in extreme cold conditions. So we've actually implemented two of those vehicles in our fleet, in large part because of our relationship actually with the University of Winnipeg, which is the urban university campus just adjoining downtown. They actually have a community development arm of their own where they build affordable housing in the downtown core. And they've also been very supportive of us, and we really like what they're doing. So we've actually installed two plug-in electric vehicles at two of their towers that they've built in the last couple of years. And so those are the kind of partnerships we're very interested in to help build that EV or PHEV fleet for us.
That was Philip Mikulak, manager of the Peg City Car Co-op, which will be celebrating its 10th anniversary this June. Congratulations. We hope you enjoyed tonight's show. Thanks to my fellow cooperator, Joshua Peterman, for putting all the pieces together. I'm Sandy Goldman. Thanks for listening. Stay safe and have a cooperative week.
I'm trying to tell you something about my life. Maybe give me insight between black and white. And the best thing you ever done for me to help me take my life less seriously. It's only life after all. Yeah. Well, darkness has a hunger that's insatiable, and lightness has a call that's hard to hear. And I wrap my fear around me like a blanket. I sail my ship of safety till I sank it. I'm crawling on your shores. I went to the doctor, I went to the mountains, I looked to the children, I drank from the fountains. There's more than one answer to these questions, pointing me in a crooked line. And the less I seek my source for some definitive, closer I am to find, yeah. Closer I am to find, yeah. And I went to see the doctor of philosophy with a poster of Rasputin and a beer down to his knee. He never did marry or see a big great movie. He graded my performance. He said he could sit through me. I spent 4 years prostrate to the higher mind. Got my paper and I was free. I went to the doctor, I went to the mountains, I looked to the children, I drank from the fountains. There's more than one answer to these questions, pointing me in a crooked line. And the less I seek my source for some definitive, closer I am to find, yeah. Closer I am to find, yeah. I stopped by the bar at 3 a.m. to seek solace in a bottle or possibly a friend. I woke up with a headache like my head against a board, twice as cloudy as I'd been the night before. And I went in seeking clarity. I went to the doctor, I went to the mountains, I looked to the children, I drank from the fountain. We go to the doctor, we go to the mountains, we look to the children, we drink. a crooked line. And the less I seek my source for some definitive, closer I am to find. Closer I am to find. Closer.